Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and in the name of the God about whom he hoped we would all be curious, seeking relationship with the one who offers it to us at every moment. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are gathered with us this morning in worship by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements to offer this morning. As usual, I want to thank our worship leaders for the time and energy and talents that they're giving of today to make this worship possible. And so special thanks to Robin and Jeff Clausen, to Wayne Zaretter and Sarah Lynn Keller, to Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. And of course, special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of the technical expertise that they are offering this day that makes this worship possible. We have a time during our worship of candle lighting. I'll be lighting a candle immediately following the announcements. And so we invite you to have one as well to light. So if you don't want to have one yet, we invite you to do that now. Also during our worship, and specifically during the time of public prayer, we'll be lifting up some prayer celebrations and concerns. Many of these are found in the church's insert in the bulletin, but you can also send them to us now if you have prayer concerns or celebrations you'd like us to use during the worship and to lift them up. So you can email them to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning's prayer this morning. We have a time of post-worship fellowship, always following this live-streamed worship. This day, it's going to be an abbreviated time. It'll happen around 11:30 or shortly after worship ends and go till noon. Sarah Lynn's going to tell you a little bit more about what's going to happen at noon, but I encourage you to take part in our fellowship time. There's a link to this Zoom gathering that you can find on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. You can also see it here, see it in the bulletin, or you can also find it in our weekly link emailings that go out on Fridays and also on Sunday mornings. So Sarah Lynn's going to tell us a little bit more about what's happening at noon. Sarah Lynn.
Hi, thank you. Yes. So today at noon, we'll just transition from our usual post-worship fellowship to a time of information and conversation about a possible capital campaign. And this will be an opportunity for you to hear more detailed information about possible interior projects. There will be ample time for question and answers and conversation about how these projects fit with our church's values and commitments. So there's a tentative date for a campaign vote on Sunday, June 13th, and we hope that you will be a part of today's conversation, as well as we encourage you to just extend that conversation into next week. We'll be doing this again after worship and after our post-worship fellowship next Sunday as well. So we hope to see many of you at one or hopefully both of those conversations. And I want to report back from a very successful plant sale that was held yesterday at the front of the church. It was a beautiful day to be outside and to gather together to see one another in person and to look at beautiful plants. And so I'm happy to report that we raised over $1,650, and that amount may even go a little bit higher. There are still a few plants to sell. And I want to thank especially Sharon Kirby and John Gentry for the wonderful organizing that they put into this project, this fundraiser, and then everyone else who was involved. We had lots of hands helping us. Thanks to June Sredder, Amy Foley, Gretchen Dubois, Patty Cassell, Janine Keaty, Rip Ripley, and Peg Waters for all of their help as well. And I want to invite folks to join us on Wednesday at noon for our midweek connection in prayer. This is a time when we gather to share where we are in the week and what things are on our minds. We come together to discuss what we'd like to pray about, and then we pray together. It's a wonderful time, and you are certainly invited to join us in that time together. And that link can be found on our church website or in our weekly link emails as well. Jonathan is available for your pastoral care needs throughout the week. Please don't hesitate to contact him via his pastor@firstchurchnatick.org email address or on his cell phone that you can find on our church website. Just a quick reminder that the scholarship applications are due today. If you are a student in a higher education place, we would love to help support that and offer scholarships. So those applications are still available on our church website. We would love to get them in today if possible. But if you have any questions or difficulty in finding those applications, please contact me. And I would love to know that you're keeping an eye on your emails in the coming week, because we are, the task force who has been looking at reopening our church building has been meeting and discussing how we might do that. And of course, knowing that whatever we choose to do, we'll follow the CDC, state and local guidelines, including case count based phasing and occupancy limits, masking and social distancing, of course. And so be on the lookout for an email, because we want to know what you think. We would love to have your input in this process of thinking about opening the building and returning to in-person worship. So a survey will be coming your way. It's for some of you who may not be using email so much, we can also provide you with a hard copy that you can fill out and return to the church. So we really would like to gather those thoughts. It is an important issue, and we are a community of faith working together to be the body of Christ. So everyone is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. And of course, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us one in the body of Christ and also helps this body be up and about the business of God's ministry of love in the world. And so we remember in this time of lighting of the Christ candle that we are the light of the world, and that we're called to shine that light into the world, into every place where that light is so needed, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. Please join me now in lighting our candles together. And let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Deep inside us all, old and young alike,
there's a place of faith,
a place of trust and hope and love,
without which there can be no peace.
May we approach this hour as children of God,
with innocence of heart and unlimited hope,
with burning curiosity and sincere openness,
and with a trust that makes us vulnerable. Let us worship our God. Amen.
Salvation.
Please join us in the opening prayer as we say together,
We have trusted you, Holy One. That brings us to this time of worship. As we bring our hearts and minds together in this hour, your steadfast love becomes evident again as we sing our songs of thanksgiving and tell of your loving deeds. Through this worship, may we dare to be curious about you and open to all you offer. Help us to be childlike that we might receive your blessing and welcome your embrace. Amen.
I invite us all now to share the peace of Christ, maybe reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our own peace. Or perhaps offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved, your generosity of spirit, your generosity of time, your generosity of gifts and of money gifts as well are among the things that make it possible for this community of faith to continue its mission and ministry in the world. And so we thank you. We thank you for all of those many ways that you are giving of yourself using the gifts with which God has blessed your life and stewarding them well, specifically for helping us to be the body of Christ in the world. So thank you for doing that. One way you can continue to be a generous money contributor to the church, of course, is to mail a check to the church office. But you can also make an online contribution through our church's giving portal at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Let us give thanks to God and God's sustaining word and for the ministry in which we are engaged together as we present this morning's offering. Let us pray together. Generous and giving God, we give you something of what we have been given. And so we look to you to take our gifts and our talents and our lives and use them to show love in all that we say and all that we do and all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Was this really a good idea? Was this really a good idea? This was the question that was occupying my mind on a fall day back in the year 2000. The Central Vermont church that I was serving at the time as pastor, the Waitsfield United Church of Christ, had completed a successful capital campaign and work had already begun on its well-worn steeple. And here I was asking myself, was this really a good idea as we made our slow ascent, You see, after I had hastily agreed to assist our steeplejack, Jay, in lending a hand in removing the steeple's weather vane, and after I'd put on the harness, and after the crane operator had advised us to hook our tethers onto the crane arm because, and I quote, "if the basket falls, then maybe you won't," after I'd taken one last look at the gold ball up atop of that weather vane 120 feet up, after Jay informed me that we would actually be going up 20 feet beyond that to pull out the long stem that the weather vane is attached to, and even after I learned that our crane operator's name was Jim Steady, no kidding, even after that, I wasn't so sure. Before making our ascent, Jay asked me, "Do you mind heights?" "Well, I've painted on 60-foot ladders before," I responded smugly. And he said, "Good, good," smiling. And then he added, "Of course, we're going up twice that far, and you're not going to have the building to lean up against." Believe me, those factors made all the difference. Up and up we went, and not unlike in this photo that you see of another church in Townsend, Vermont, and the work being done on it with cranes. I thought as we went up that that crane was never going to stop. And my smile rapidly fell from my face. After all, how long can you force a smile or fake calm or hide bleach white knuckles as they're gripping the edge of the basket? Fortunately, Mr. Steady was true to his name. It was at least a very smooth ride, and it was not, thankfully, a windy day. And I was absolutely relieved when I could finally occupy myself with the work of helping Jay remove the weather vane instead of being preoccupied with that dizzying height. And that is when it happened. We had pulled that long iron stem out, and Jay was saying, "Here, hold this," handing me the globe that sat atop the weather vane, the holy grail, as it were, of the steeplejack's trade, and the object of my deep curiosity. Suddenly, My vertigo was completely gone. And I was smiling again, smiling, remembering the rumor about a special message from the time of the last steeple renovation that might be hidden within that globe. Back on the ground, a reporter was there, and the reporter asked Jay if he felt close to God up there. And Jay said, no, I feel close to the people who built this building. I felt that too, for my appreciation of the steeple and of that building had greatly deepened, despite the fact that from up there you could see the true extent of the decay that was going on, the rusting weather vane and the fading gilt on that ball and rotting finial in which they were attached. I couldn't help but admire the workmanship that it took to craft such beauty and such strength. I also felt a lot closer to the community. When I finally calmed myself down enough to look around, I was completely awestruck. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day. The sun was shining and blue skies were there, and Vermont and all of its beautiful foliage. And looking down, I observed the church's prominence in the valley village laid out below me. Was this a good idea? You bet. You bet. For by gaining this new perspective, I also received a new attitude about the church building, about the community, and about the church's role within it. The necessity of taking on a new attitude, I think, is at the heart of this passage that we heard from the gospel today. Even after Jesus had said all that he had said about welcoming the vulnerable, the disciples are so intent on protecting their teacher, like some kind of, celebrity bodyguards, that they forget the essence of Jesus' ministry, being among such little ones. Let the little children come to me. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. As a child. Interpreters debate exactly what that means. Was he talking about their innocence, their trust? Was he talking about their simplicity or something else? But I have been thinking that the fact that children come for his blessing reveals their curiosity about Jesus and their openness to God as well. As an adult, it's difficult for me to remain open, to remain curious all the time. Sometimes, I kind of require a jolt. I think Jesus knew this, and that is why, as on other occasions, he speaks the shocking word. He performs the surprise action. It was a surprise to the disciples, for example, on that day that he invited the children in. Children were really not a part of the adult world of that time and place, and certainly not in the sphere of influence of teachers such as himself. And yet, what does Jesus do? Jesus invites them to be with him closely. A new perspective sometimes comes when it's forced upon us, maybe by an experience that changes how we see things and therefore how we think and what we believe. Sometimes that comes through loss, of course. We never want this, but we know about it. The worker who becomes disabled, the manager who loses her job in a corporate restructure, or the couple that discovers that one of them has an incurable disease. These happen all the time. And for each of these, a perspective on self, on the future, and on reality shifts. It shifts because they must now view their lives from an altered point of view. Well, then there are the things that we do to change our perspective. Like thrill seekers, maybe, who go to extremes to have peak experiences. But of course, Just studying, just reading, just talking to other people can provide it as well. And of course, travel does this too. Exploring new environs where we not only see new sights, but see ordinary things in new ways. As a young man, I remember traveling in northern England, exploring the remains of that thick masonry wall built by the Emperor Hadrian about 2,000 years ago. And my perspective on what constitutes old and my attitude about human history being forever deepened. So, of course, was my appreciation for my own country, not to mention my appreciation for some other things like a hot shower and a green salad and real pizza, of course. So this week, I've been thinking about this, and I've also been thinking about a friend, Cynthia Elbaum, actually someone who I was remembering last week, someone who I mentioned in my sermon when I spoke about a friend who I regretted not seeing one last time at our 10-year high school reunion. Her fascination with Russia prompted her to study Russian culture and language, and so she combined these interests with photographic skills, and she became a photojournalist. That's how she came to be in Chechnya in December 1994 on assignment for Time magazine during a Russian offensive during the First Chechen War. She felt that this was really the only way that she could follow the story of Chechen fighters' fight for independence that was going on then in the capital city of Grozny. So she went. She went, and like in this photo that you see, surveying there the effects of another Russian bombing raid. Well, days later, while photographing another such scene, a Russian jet suddenly appeared out of the sky and fired directly into a small crowd that she was with, and that rocket landed just yards away from her. And she and 17 other people were killed. She was 28 years old. So the last photos that Cynthia took, that's what I want, where I want to focus. Those stories tell a story of the human side of that conflict, something that few of us here in the US knew that much about, and certainly not me. A story of destruction, yes, but also a story about the men and boys and others fighting for independence with few resources, of mothers confronting Russian troops and barring their way into the city, and of women, young and old, grieving their dead husbands and sweethearts and sons. Smuggled out by her friends, Cynthia's photos helped give the world a new perspective on the war in Chechnya, a changed attitude toward Boris Yeltsin's so-called new democracy, and the end in time to this disastrous conflict that claimed over 100,000 civilian lives in 1996. Seeking out a new perspective, following our curiosity, always means risk. Not necessarily risking our personal safety in a war zone or going up 140 feet in a crane, a basket, but risking being changed. Risking being changed. For I think about how when our perspective changes, it's likely that we are going to be changed with it. Seeing Cynthia's pictures, the unique new perspective that she sought to offer the world, well, they changed me. For as I viewed her very last photo, this one of a woman praying in her grief, Chechens were no longer faceless strangers to me, but my siblings in the family of God, suffering in oppression. And hearing of her death through a front page article in the New York Times changed me too, as a foreign war was brought very close to home. So new, different, full perspective matters. It matters. A steeple work has gone on at our church this past year. Courtesy of Natick's GIS drone, we have had great footage of the progress that has been made. I hope that you've been keeping up with some of that over the weeks and months. But like my own experience almost 20 years ago, we've also been able to see our church's central place in Natick. Of course, you are aware of this, sometimes expressing it and your identity as Natick's front porch. So my hope as you move from exterior projects to possible interior projects in the church building is that you will get good perspective on what happens beyond the front porch. Inside the church, but also through it and out into the community. That you'll have the fullest perspective on how these will reflect your values and your commitments and be resources for being that inviting and welcoming and loving church that you believe that you should be. And that you'll appreciate who you are and the moment that you occupy right now and why your decisions together today matter today and for the future. To appreciate the meaning of the message that I received coming across the decades from between 1906 and the year 2000, penned by another Waitsfield church pastor and found hidden in that golden globe atop the weather vane of the Waitsfield United Church of Christ that sits there still. These words, written by that pastor: "The years will come and go and sunshine and storm fall on this ball. But when at last all things hidden shall be revealed and this record mayhap shall come to light, may it be a simple reminder of the long history and faithful service of the Congregational Church of Waitsfield, Vermont, to those then living, and a link in memory's chain, binding in one fellowship those who come after with those who have gone before." I love those words. I loved reading them. You too are bound together to those spiritual forebears of the First Congregational Church of Natick. You too share a place alongside them in making faithful decisions about how you're going to proclaim and embody the life-giving good news that you have received. For even now, you are becoming spiritual ancestors to as yet to be seen spiritual descendants. And now more than ever, as is the time for you to know this and for you to act upon it faithfully. Our lives are filled with experiences that change our perspectives and, of course, that also change us. Some of these, like what happened in Grozny in 1994, well, some of them I would just rather forget. But then I remember. Then I remember other photos and how their new perspective helped at least some of us grasp the Earth's preciousness and the human community's interdependence. We are called to be a seeking people, a people who don't rest on threadbare assumptions and age-old prejudices, but who seek new points of view and new lands into which the Spirit is calling us. Let us be like children then, curious and open, and yet having the spiritual maturity required to risk losing our comfortable understandings of our world, of ourselves, of our church, and our God, that we might possess an honest and more meaningful life and faith life together. May it be true for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved siblings in Christ, we are the ones who receive Spirit, and we receive that Spirit together. And by that Spirit, we lift up prayer. And that's what we do now as we come together as a community of faith. We've shared music and words and ideas and concepts, maybe new perspectives, lots of other things today. But what we share now is an intimacy that carries on despite the fact that we are distant from one another physically, because by the power of the Spirit, we can yet be linked, just as we can be linked with those spiritual ancestors and our spiritual descendants as well. In that spirit, may we pray together. This day, I would have us remember the many prayer concerns and celebrations that you'll find listed in the prayer bulletin. Take some time with that. Take some time to pray for those known and unknown to us who yet are in need of God's healing, God's reconciliation, sometimes just the presence of God in their lives. There are so many places in the world of brokenness that we know about, and I could name many, many. Today, I don't want us to fail to remember our siblings in the family of God who are in conflict in Israel and Palestine. And we look to a spirit of understanding, a spirit of helping the sides of this conflict see one another as human beings and to risk doing some things that are hard to do. Maybe it's easy to risk violence, but I think it's much, much more difficult to risk understanding and the possible change that peace might mean for that entire region. So we continue to lift them up in prayer this day. I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other prayer celebrations or concerns that have been brought to us this day. Wayne?
Good morning. Prayers for healing and comfort as Scott Zaretter, Hank's son and June's stepson, and Wayne and Jeanette's nephew, undergoes major back surgery this week. May the doctors and nurses be guided in their work as the heavenly healer. Prayers for continued healing with Tommy Hannon and his family as he continues to face his health challenges. Thoughts and prayers for our friends in Santa Maria Ceja, where 50 residents were recently diagnosed with COVID-19. This is particularly concerning, as many of you may recall, the population of Santa Maria Ceja is only 1,200 people. A glimmer of hope surfaced about 2 weeks ago as one of the first elders in the village received the COVID vaccine. Prayers go out to Chuck Roberson, who is hospitalized with a bad infection. Lastly, may strength, patience, and hope surround all those in our community facing health and other personal challenges, even as our spirits are lifted by the brighter days of springtime.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. And I would ask that a continued spirit of discernment be with our congregation in its talking together and praying together about possible capital campaign projects that have to do with the interior of the building. So we will continue to look to the Spirit to move us well in that. And right now, I invite you to be in a spirit of prayer as we join our hearts and minds together. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you. We praise you for claiming us as your very own, for guiding us and nurturing us and helping us to grow. You have created us as a searching people, a people who want to understand, and with a deep and an abiding curiosity about the who and the what and the when and the why and the how of everything. And yet, Holy One, just when we should be coming to maturity in our knowledge of you, our curiosity and openness to new ideas and perspectives can often wane. Maybe we get comfortable, happy to have reality wrapped up into tidy little packages of opinion that we've developed, or that we're hearing through the one news source that we are listening to or watching. Help us, loving God, for these packages can easily become our stumbling blocks, tripping us up as we travel your path, effectively blocking our journey, stopping our growth. As much as these blocks have both become familiar, though we have used them to build our cozy habitations of mind, give us the courage to bypass them, to resist stacking them into an immovable edifice, to move beyond them to new places where we might see more clearly the truth about us and about you. Gracious God, shield us from lazy habits of thought and easy assumptions. Help us to be hungry enough for truth that we will not stop our search for it and you as its source. Above all, give us the spirit of your Son, the Christ, who wrenched his disciples from complacency, and who even now calls us to be the children you would have us be, and to be the church that the world needs. For it is in his name that we dare to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved ones, let us greet the world as children of God, rejoicing in its wonders and sharing in its goodness with our siblings in God's family. And may the God who loves all children, young and old, be with us as we arise from this worship, endeavoring to make the world a happy and peaceful home for all the human family. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.